Hello, everybody. Great to be with you again. So I want to take you just a few minutes and relate to something to you that came up in a clarity session with a client of mine who lives in Denmark this morning. And this guy's only been awake a few weeks, and he's doing extraordinarily well. I'm very, very happy for him. And he's wonderfully honest. That's just great, you know? He's really, I mean, he's honest enough. There's actually a little humility over there. Which I find is so damn rare in non-duality, and it's fairly rare over here, so it's understandable. But at any rate, my friend over there in Denmark has got enough of a pull toward this thing that he will actually tell me the truth, which is therefore I can help him be of the most service to him. And this morning we were talking, and he said, "You know, I prayed." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well," he said, "I tell you, I did it after I read somewhere in one of your articles or one of your videos where you had said it was okay to pray." And he said, "You know, if you wanted, if I had told, said, if you want to pray, pray." And I say again, "If you want, if you want to pray, pray," as if you could do anything else. But he said, "You know," and I said, "Well, that's fine." And he said, "Well, you know, but." You know, he said, "I wouldn't used to." I said, "I used to pray, and then I quit praying." He said, "I didn't pray for a long, long time because I was convinced that, you know, that it just wasn't non-dual because it was admitting duality right up front because there was a me here praying to a God or whatever out there, and so it just didn't feel authentic. And so I just dropped it like a hot rock and done it until today." And I completely get that, you know, because I did that exact same thing. I mean, I promise you, that is, I went down that very same lane, and my guess is that a lot of people in non-duality have gone down that very same lane. So I told him, "Well, that's great. I'm glad you did anyway." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You know," and he said, "And what I prayed for." Was I prayed for abiding enlightenment. And I said, "You know, you can't go wrong with that." You know, I mean, it's a, you know, there's, a, I'm not going to say that there's nothing in that that's slightly egoic, but I'm saying it's about as unegoic as we're likely to get with our prayers. It's a, and it's a perfectly legitimate prayer. The key is to understanding that this philosophy, this non-dual philosophy that tells us, you know, though that's an expression of duality and this and that, the other, don't do that. That's not non-duality. That's another case of absolutism. Because at that point, what I'm saying is, I am only the vastness. The vastness is all there is, and I am the vastness. And while that's true up to a point, it is not completely true. Because the fact is that although I am the vastness, the remarkable thing is I nonetheless have this experience of this little man who's cutting a YouTube video. So so I told him a story about as to whether prayer might or might not be effective, and I think he got something out of it, and I want to share it with you. Because prayer is just fine as part of the non-dual lifestyle, the non-dual life. But forget about the non-dual philosophy. Who cares? It's so dry, and it's, you know, and it's just, I mean, a lot of it is can be nihilistic and or lead to nihilism and depression, all that kind of stuff, man. I'm just telling you, live this thing. Don't try to just live by it. So, some years ago, a dozen years ago. When I was just a couple of years sober, and I was in 12-step recovery, and I was set up to tell my story for the first time in public. And it was going to be at a little church not far from my house. And, you know, there was a part of me that there was some ego. You know, obviously, I never met a microphone I didn't like, and I don't even know if there was going to be a mic there tonight, that night. But there was going to be an audience, and there was going to be a stage, and I was very excited about that. I just was, you know, because I'm just a ham. I'm still a ham. Look what I'm doing for a living. So, on a Wednesday, that was a Saturday night. On the Wednesday before the Saturday night, I contracted a toothache. Now, I was poor as a rat. I was poor as a rat for about 4 years in early sobriety. And then I was just poor for about another 4. But at any rate, it was pretty touch and go there for quite some time. I didn't have any money for a dentist, none. I mean, there was no way that a dentist was in my future. I didn't know what I was going to do. Because I've got on the internet, I'm always the research guy. And I got on the internet and I went and checked it out, and they said it's just going to get worse. I had to put in, and they said, you're going to have to go to a dentist. Sooner or later, you're going to go to have to a dentist. If you wait, it's going to get worse. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. The only problem being was that I actually had no resources. I had no money to go to a dentist with. I don't mean I could pull the money from somewhere else. There was no money. So there was no dentist in my history as far as I could see. I did squeeze enough money to go to the drugstore. Remember, Betsy took me to the drugstore. She didn't have any money either. She was poor as a rat as well. But she had a car, so she was ahead of me, and she took me to the drugstore, and I got some of that topical painkiller, and I started using that stuff, and I was just squirting it all the time, man. This was Wednesday. It stayed with me all day Wednesday night, stayed with me all day Thursday, stayed with me all day Thursday night, squirt, 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 and it stayed with me all day Friday. Now, Friday evening, it was funny because I was a sponsor in 12-step recovery, and I had a guy over at my house that night who was early in recovery, and was which means that he was very near death. Okay, he had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, and he had no idea, no awareness of that really at all. He just knew that what he was doing was that he was just having a hard time, and I had been poor as a rat for a long time, and this guy had been sober about 45 days, 30, maybe 30 days, not long. And he was already, I mean, he was a blue-collar guy. Hell, he had a skill. It didn't matter what his CV or resume said, he had a skill. And so he was earning money and doing fine, and I was just poor as a rat with a toothache. And he's over at my house, and he's steady bitching. And I just sat there and listened. He's just steady bitching about everything's not going his way. Should be this, should be that. That's just what people in early recovery typically do, is that because quitting drinking is a great idea until you quit. And then when you quit, it's like, man, this is an awful idea. What made me think of this? So I listened to him, and then finally, and I sat over there. He's bitching about the way things are, and I'm over there squirting stuff in my mouth and shifting in my chair because I'm in agony. I just noticed the irony of that situation. So finally, I ran him out the house, and 11 or 12, something like that. And I went upstairs, and somehow, I don't know, I have any idea how it happened, but somehow I got blessed with being able to go to sleep. And I went to sleep, and I woke up about 2 hours later, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the whole world was a toothache. I mean, it was worse than it had ever been by a long shot. They were right, it does get worse. And man, I got up and I realized, oh my God, I don't have any more of this topical painkiller. So I went into my bathroom, and I went starting looking to see if I could find anything in there. Was there any other painkiller that from earlier? Or was there anything in there that would do me any good at all? And the answer was no. And then I happened to look down. I happened to look down. I saw my mouthwash. And I had a big bottle of mouthwash on the counter, and I thought, oh my God, that stuff's about 40 proof, and I could take a couple of good long plugs on that, and I'd be better. I mean, the toothache would still be here, but it wouldn't be as intense, and I wouldn't be quite so tense either. I'd be like starting to buzz. And all of a sudden, I got the awareness that the guy that had been in my living room didn't have. I realized, oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. I can't drink successfully, and I can't quit trying. And now I notice that I'm 2 years sober, and I'm standing in my bathroom. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I am thinking about taking a drink. And it was just like, oh God, you're gonna die. I didn't want to call anybody because what were they gonna say? Don't drink? I mean, that's what they would have said, and I knew that much myself. But I was nonetheless on my mind, and I thought, something's got to give here. I'm not even gonna be able to go tell my story. Nothing. And so I decided, what was it, or I thought about it, what was it that I had not done that I might be able to do? And I decided, well, you know, I haven't prayed over this. It just dawned on me that I'm, because I was a praying fool in those days, man. You know, when you're really hurting, you're not quite so intellectual about all this stuff. So, it was, and I thought, well, you know, I could give it a try. I mean, you know, it didn't seem to me like it was a great move, but it seemed to me like the only move that was left to me here in the middle of the night on this Friday. And so I went in and I just did what they, you know, what I had heard to do. And I mean, I got down on my knees. And I actually do used to get down on my knees and pray on a pretty regular basis. That was something I learned in recovery. And it didn't hurt me. I mean, I noticed it didn't. It hurt my ego at first, and I think it's supposed to. So, because I didn't seem to be like I was too good at running the show if I was down on my knees. So at any rate, I cut a deal with God, because that was the best I could do at that time. I was still a rather sick individual, and the best I could do was cut a deal with God, offer him, you know, a deal, which was, I've got to give tell my story tonight at this church. Wouldn't it, you know, bribing God, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could go in there and tell the story of how about you cured my toothache? You know, and I can just make it, you know, and I give all the, you know, glory to you. Just really pretty disgusting stuff. And so I said that prayer, and then somehow, I don't actually remember anything after that. I don't remember getting off my knees. I don't remember hitting the bed. I don't remember any of that. What I do remember is is waking up. And I woke up about 8 o'clock that morning, and the very first thing I noticed was that my toothache was gone. I could not believe it. I checked and I paused, and it's like, God, it really is. It seems to be actually gone. I can't believe it. Can't be. So I got up and I looked in the medicine cabinet, and I mean, excuse me, I looked in the mirror, and I looked in the and there was no swelling. There was no redness, no nothing. I opened my mouth. There was no redness. You couldn't. And I realized that, oh my God, I can't even really tell which tooth it was. It was one of these over here, but I don't know which one. This is unbelievable. And it appeared that it really had gone away, and it had. It's 12 years later. It's never come back. I did tell that story that night. I did. As a matter of fact, I remember the line, which is, I said, "If your God ain't working, try mine." You know, because I was sold, right? I mean, God Almighty. But 12 years later, that toothache has never come back. It's never been fixed in the sense that I'm not saying there hadn't been any dental work. There has been quite a bit, but not, but it was years before I could afford any. So I never had a dentist work on that thing. I never had any dentist say, "Oh, it looks particularly bad in here. I'm surprised it's not killing you." No, it was just absolutely gone. So how does that happen? I have no idea, nor do I care. What I do know is that on one of the more desperate nights of my life, I got humble enough to say a prayer, and I got relief. So for God's sake, if you've got problems in your life, in your relative life, if you've got problems with your spiritual program, whatever it is, it's okay to pray. I'm not telling you to pray if you don't pray already. If you're not drawn to it, don't do it. But if you do feel drawn to it, don't be stopped by that sense of duality, because that's the absolutism saying that I am this vastness and not the little man, and that is not true. It's true as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. I am the vastness, and I am also the little man. I am this absolute view, and I'm also this relative view, and the two do not mix. So saying that I have had a non-dual, that I've seen the truth from the absolute, and all this stuff is junk and all that, it just doesn't work like that. It just does not work like that. It feels like it would work like that. It seems like it would work like that, and we certainly hear that it works like that sometimes, but it doesn't. So I'm just telling you, just relax. So if you want to pray, pray. If you don't. But don't be stopped by your philosophy. Thank you so much. See you later. Bye-bye. Hope you don't have a toothache.